You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everybody, welcome to MLB.com Extras. Matthew Leach talking Philadelphia Phillies with MLB.com's Phillies reporter, Todd Zelek. Todd, there's always a lot to talk about with the Phillies, and we could probably talk about Jonathan Papelbon every week if we wanted to. We certainly can't not talk about him this week. What is he doing? Does he just not care how anybody takes anything? Is he trying to talk his way out of town? These are not extreme comments within the Papelbon canon, but it's more of it. Is he trying to sort of talk his way out of town?
You know, honestly, I don't know if that's his motivation in these comments. I think he's just being honest. Like, the reporter from the Boston Globe approached him yesterday, said, I don't know what the question was exactly, but he basically, as we know, said, Red Sox are part of me. I don't really feel like a Philly. And I think he's just being honest about it. And he but the problem here is, or the issue here is that this is not like this is the first time he ever said anything about the Phillies or the organization or whatever. And people are like, oh, wow, hey, I didn't know he felt that way. This is kind of a series of comments he's made over time. And, you know, in July, just before the 2013 trade deadline, I talked to him in Detroit, and he basically called for changes from the top down in the entire organization. Next July, we're in Milwaukee. We said, would you like to be traded? He's like, why would anybody want to be on this team? And then, of course, he was suspended last September for grabbing himself on the field. And he's made other comments along the way that haven't gotten as much attention. Like, he has said, I love being the villain. I love when Phillies fans boo me. You know, so he keeps on kind of adding a little bit of fuel to the fire. And you know, what's interesting is if you really kind of take a step back and look at those comments and what he said, it really makes sense in a lot of ways. The Red Sox drafted him. They developed him. He became a star there. He won a World Series there. He's immensely popular there. He probably will never have to buy a beer or a meal there anytime he goes back to Boston, as long as he lives. And he has a lot of great memories about Boston, whereas in Philly, he's come here. They have not won. It's been a disappointment all the way around. And so naturally, he doesn't have those same feelings about the Phillies. So you take a step back, you look at it and go, I kind of see where he's coming from. But then when you look at the bigger picture of all the comments he's made about the Phillies and the organization and the city, and you go, Jonathan, why do you keep bringing this upon yourself?
From the baseball side, it looks like he's still a pretty good reliever. It certainly seems like there is value there. We've talked about this 100 times, but what do you think are the chances that he's still a Philly, certainly August 1st, but maybe even June 1st? I mean, do you think that he's a guy who gets moved maybe even before the deadline?
I certainly think they would jump at the opportunity to do it if they could, but I guess I get the feeling that a lot of this stuff is going to heat up right before the deadline. Once teams really kind of get down to the wire and they feel like they're in the hunt and they feel like they don't have a closer and they know that Papelbon's out there. So I tend to think it'll run up against that time. You know, it was interesting earlier this week, you know, the Padres make that huge blockbuster trade for Craig Kimbrel. What was interesting to me about it is that they had to take on the entire remainder of Melvin Upton's deal to get him, plus they had to give two prospects and a draft pick. And I thought to myself, boy, like, the Phillies would have not required you to take on an extra big deal. They probably would have taken less back to get Papelbon, you know, elsewhere. The Padres, apparently, they expressed minimal interest, or they expressed some marginal interest in him a few months ago, but nothing in the last few months, which I thought was interesting, because the Padres were looking at a closer. Certainly, Kimbrel is far and away the best in baseball, so I'm not saying that these two are equal on equal footing. But, you know, if you're going, okay, we can get Craig Kimbrel, pay $43.5 million, give up two prospects and draft pick, or we can pay Jonathan Papelbon $26 million over the next 2 years and maybe only give up a prospect or two, I just thought it was interesting that they weren't interested in him. But so that kind of gets me to feel that, you know, they might wait in towards more close to the July deadline to get things done if they can.
Meanwhile, his setup man continues to search for his form. let's overreact to a whole bunch of games that don't matter and only one that does. What's the concern level about Ken Giles right now?
The concern level is that last season when he came up, he was a strikeout machine, tremendous strikeout-to-walk ratio. It was pumping fastballs on a bad day, 98, 99, maybe a 97 on a really bad day. But he would be hitting that 99, 100-mile-an-hour mark pretty consistently, it seemed. And this spring, he was in the low 90s, touched 95 a couple times. And then yesterday, he was in the 94, 95-mile-an-hour range, hit 96 a couple times. But so the velocity is down, which, you know, maybe it takes him a while to get his arm strength up. We don't have anything to really go back on in terms of his major league career to say, yeah, he's usually takes him a while to get his velocity up. But the concerning part is that he's just all over the strike zone. I think in spring training, he walked 13 batters in 14 innings, struck out 15, whereas last year it was he barely seemed to walk anybody and was striking out two batters an inning. And the same thing kind of happened yesterday. He walked three batters, forced in a run, and couldn't get out of the inning. So he says he's healthy. Ryan Sandberg said Giles is telling us that he's healthy. He had the back issue the last week of camp. He insists that's not the reason. He says he just needs to make adjustments. He needs to mentally get in the right frame of mind, whatever that means. So that's certainly what they're hoping because, you know, I wrote a story entering the season and how he is kind of the key symbolic piece of this rebuilding program, plan, because he could potentially be a closer for one of the most dominant closers in baseball for several years. And certainly they're hoping that he's that guy down the road. But the first, you know, Wednesday night's example or outing and then, you know, spring training certainly has raised a few eyebrows for sure.
Meanwhile, there's not really any worry about Cole Hamels, but I just wonder, a guy's been doing it this long and continues to have trouble the first month of the season. He's got 6 weeks to get ready. What is it that causes a guy who has all spring and all winter to get ready to have a hard time pitching well in the first month of the season?
Yeah, that thing I can't explain. You know, there's been a couple springs where Phillies people, like his first bullpen session, like, oh my gosh, Cole Hamels looks unbelievable. He looks to be in mid-season form. Like, so it's not a matter of him coming in camp out of shape. In 2009, after the World Series, that did happen to him, and he really struggled coming out of the chute. But there, like I said, there have been springs where not only Phillies front office personnel, but scouts from other teams go, oh man, is Cole Hamels going to have a big year? He looks outstanding. And this is like his second start in March. So he seems to be prepared. I don't know if it's the cold weather or what, but for whatever reason, jitters maybe, which would be surprising considering how much postseason experience he's had. But for whatever reason, April has not been very kind to him.
Excuse me, goodness. One other guy, we talk about all these trades, and I brought this up once or twice, but we talk about all these possible trade guys. We talk about Papelbon, we talk about Hamels, talk about how much they'd love to move Howard and whether they could move Utley. After a very small number of games, Carlos Ruiz is hitting the ball well. Carlos Ruiz is, to my eye, a pretty good hitter for a catcher when he's healthy. Now, he's not young. He's not exactly a force on the base paths, but he's a pretty good offensive catcher. Is he trade bait? Is he somebody they're not looking to move? Is he somebody that they don't get calls on? It just seems weird that as much as everybody else gets talked about, he doesn't seem to get talked about as one of the trade options.
Yeah, he definitely does fly under the radar quite a bit. But I do think that they would be willing to move him if a team suffered a major injury to a catcher today or tomorrow or this next week, and they thought that catcher would be out long term. I definitely think that the Phillies are willing to listen. Now, the problem is they really don't have anybody that can be an everyday catcher right now, so they would really take a huge step back. And, you know, all things said and done, does it really matter in this season? Probably not. But they also want to put forth, you know, a decent lineup every night as much as they possibly can. But that said, I do think if the right deal came along and they could make it a trade for Carlos Ruiz, that they would make that. I think that's a guy to watch come July. You know, if a team needs some catching help, I think he's a prime candidate for it.
All right, well, Todd Zielecki, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.